All right, praise the Lord. I got 20 minutes, right? No. Oh, go fast, right? To get it all in. Glory to God. All right, look at each other or look at the ones beside you and say, this is going to set me free. Amen. Hallelujah. Going to be encouraged about the message that the Lord has put in my heart to bring to you today. Because it could be one that you go like, why did I come to church today? Right? It's not a subject that is very, we don't hear it that much. We do, but we don't. And I think the Lord has want us to remind us today that how important it is to repent. This is a month of repentance. I don't know if you have heard this. They call it the month of repentance, where the body of Christ will come and repent for the sin of the nation. I pray that you do. And so this is going to usher you. It's going to wake us up. It's going to, you know, you're going to come before the Lord, you and the Lord, right? With the scriptures that I'm going to bring and I'm going to try to share with you. This is not to be thinking on the one that is sitting beside you and say, okay, yeah, this person needs to repent or that. No, you, right? How about that? So this is going to be about you. It's going to be how we repent. Because it seems like we hear that word a lot. In fact, John the Baptist started his ministry by saying, repent, what? For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And then Jesus started his ministry, and he started with the exact words to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So John the Baptist and Jesus, and we see that word all the way through the Bible. So I want to bring two instances where two kings needed to come to repentance. And I want to read it quickly for you to realize and check which king am I? Which one I have done like that king? Have I yielded to it like King Saul did? Or have I yielded to it King David? Right? So ready? Let's go. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 15. And so we start here, God has given Saul, King Saul, a commandment. And the commandment was that he will go against the enemy, the Amalekites, and Amalekites. It's like a kite. Amalekites. There you go. The Amalekites. And his instruction of his commandment was destroy them. Don't leave anything. Just everything. Just go. Have no mercy. Just destroy them. Because they're sinful, evil, evil people. And so there comes the prophet Samuel. It was the prophet at the time. And so come to address King Saul. And this is the scenario. 13. We're in 15, 13. Then Samuel went to Saul. And Saul said to him, blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandments of the Lord. Well, he's not shy, isn't it? But Samuel say, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the blowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul say, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spare the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God. You see the attitude? Are you picking it up? Your God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. We have done what God has called. I have done it. Oh, we are victorious. And so the prophet is asking, well, what is it that I hear and I see? So, hey, but we got it. I decided that even though you command me to do this, I'm going to fix it a little bit. Don't we do that sometimes? Then Samuel said to Saul, be quiet. Wow, he was a brave prophet. And I will tell you what the Lord has said to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel say, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and say, go and utterly destroy the sinners and the Amalekites and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoils and do evil in the sight of the Lord? If you have made the Lord Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, and you're saved and born again, God has given you the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in you help you to hear the voice of the Lord. We, the body of Christ, we are led by the Spirit of the Lord. So when the Spirit of the Lord tells us to do something, amen, that's a commandment, right? It is in us. We feel it. We hear it. We know it. Glory to God. A prophet, even though I believe in prophet, don't have to come, right? Necessary to tell you what the voice of the Lord or what God is saying. We are in this dispensation, right? We have a covenant that we can hear the voice of the Lord. And so Prophet Samuel is bringing him, why haven't you obeyed the voice of the Lord? And then instead of Samuel saying, that's right, check, he goes, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agab, king of Amalek, and I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But I did what I had to do, Lord. I'm okay. It's this people. Sound familiar? When we sin, when we miss the voice of the Lord, we tend to blame those around us, don't we? Instead of taking full responsibility. Well, King Saul is not different. He assures that he did what he needed to do, but it's this people. But the people took the plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, and this is for all of us, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to heed that the fat of rams, for rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also have rejected you from being king. There's always consequences for sinning and disobeying God. I'm here to tell you that the Spirit of the Lord that dwells in us always give us that warning when we are not living or doing something right. It is my prayer that the convicting power of the Spirit of God, when we sin, that we will quickly repent. But not a sorry. You know the story, sometimes children are playing and they're rough and they do something wrong. And you tell them, say you're sorry. And sorry, right? How sincere is that? Not too sincere. That's not the sorry and the asking forgiveness that the Spirit of the Lord is requiring to us to do. You see, what happens sometimes, we keep on pushing our sin. We keep on justifying it. We keep on blaming people around us, and that sin stays in us. And I believe that the Lord wants to remind us, what does it mean to repent? What is it? Are we taking it so light? Do we push it aside? That should not be. But here we see how King Saul lost his kingdom for not humbling himself, trying to blame other people, right? And in fact, you know, he even said it on 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. Yeah. Mm-hmm. For I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I fear the people and I obey their voice. Listen, we're living that today. Are we going through the pressure of people pushing us to believe, to see, even to speak according to the world? Or are we going to make a stand? Now, we don't have to be ugly, right? The Bible tells you to speak the truth in love. We're missing that. The body of Christ is losing that. You don't have to be obnoxious. You don't have to be condemning. That's not our place. But we need to stand for those things that we know they're right. What is right is right, and what is wrong. Do we know it? Do we stand in love, right? So, again, we see King Saul here losing it all. And even though he said, yeah, I sinned. Yeah, I say that lie. Yeah, I kept some of that money. Yeah, I know. I'm not supposed to be in this sin. I know. But look at that one and that one. And when we compare my sin, I compare my sin with the sin of somebody else, guess what? It always going to come justified. I can still be in ministry even though I'm living in sin. Since when? Since when? You know. So we justify. But how about when we compare that sin with the holiness of God? Makes a difference, doesn't it? And when I sin, I need to be thinking not of me. I need to be thinking not on the people that are doing worse thing than I am. I need to be thinking on who? On him. On him. And so we see how King Saul, again, if you jump to 30, King Saul again, because here's the prophet Samuel say, because of this sin, this and this and this and this is going to happen to you, to your kingdom. Now it's like, ow, you mean there's some consequences to my sin? Then 30 say, then he say, I have sinned, yet honor me. Is that repentance? I have sinned. Okay, I lie. Okay. But just honor me. Please, before the elders of the people, and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord, what? The Lord what? Your God. Can you see the heart? Can you see your God? No, wait a minute. It's my God. When I repent, when I sin, it's before my God. Number one, when we come to the kingdom of God, we have change from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. I'm going to hear the voice of God. And when I sin, the Bible tells us there's an advocate that intercedes for us, the Lord Jesus Christ, where I can quickly come, but not quickly and nonchalant like, oh, I know. You know, if I ignore the sin, if I keep on pushing it out away, it may go away and justify what I'm doing. All right, let's see another king. Let's go to 2 Samuel 17. Now this, we know, King David. King David did a few things that it was wrong. And God has sent another prophet, Nathan. Prophet Nathan to King David. And so here comes Prophet Nathan in front of the king. Now he's the king, and he has power to do whatever, right? So this prophet was very brave. Then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, 2 Samuel 12:1. I'm sorry, thank you. And say to him, he's going to tell a story. There were two men in the city, one rich and another poor. Let me tell you, Jesus taught in parables all the time, most of the time. Jesus brought a picture, a word picture for people to understand spiritual things. He's doing the same thing here. Nathan is telling a story to King David. And he said, there was a rich man and then it was a poor man. And then he goes, but the poor man had nothing except the little lamb which he had brought and nourished, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It ate of his own food and drank from his own cup and lay in his bosom, and it was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared for the man who had come to him. So David's anger was greatly aroused against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord live, the man who has done this shall surely die. Whoa. Judgment. Strong. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he had no pity. Isn't that something, that when we sin, or we are in sin, we are so hard in judging others? They're sinning, probably in the same place that we have fallen. This has been maybe a year since this happened with David. And look how he pronounced it. Because he had what? No pity. But did King David have pity when he sent them to kill Hosea? No pity. And took Bathsheba as his wife. No pity. But he's declaring it, right? One of the things that we need to be very aware, when we are in unrepentant sin, one thing that we need to be very aware is that we don't fall into the same judgment. There's only one judge, right? And that we don't condemn our brothers and our sisters in the Lord, but we pray. So King David is going to react over this, because then Nathan said to David, you are the man. Thus says the Lord of Israel, I anointed you king over Israel, and I delivered you from the land of Saul. I gave you your master's house and your master's wife into your keeping, and gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that has been too little, I also would have given you much more. When we are sinning, and when we are in that unrepentant sin, the Spirit of God is going to remind us his goodness. And it is his goodness that's going to drive us into repentance. That's Romans 2, what I just said. The goodness of God in my life, his holiness, his fairness, his faithfulness in my life is what drives me to repent. And so I believe that's why the prophet is bringing, didn't God did this for you? Set you as a king? Did all this thing? Let me remind you what a good God you have, and yet look what you have done. You see, David got to the point that he thought that sin was away. He was still king. He was reigning. Had a wife. Everything is what? Good. And you see, we need to be careful that we, because the mercy of God continues to seem that blessing us, that own repentant sin will stay alive. Believe me, you will reap what you sow. And God don't want that. God wants you to be honest and to come clean. And then there's a proclamation or prophecy about the things that was going to come, and it did because of the sin. Now look at David 13. So David said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Big difference, isn't it? From Saul going, yeah, I sinned, but honor me and stay with me. Right? To, I have sinned against who? Against God. And you see, when we sin, that's what the first thing that needs to come to our mind is that, Lord, I have sinned against you, Lord. And then everybody else, because we don't sin alone, right? There's always consequences. There's always people that get. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin, and you shall not die. And if you keep on reading, you'll see all the things again that has happened. Let's go quickly to Psalm 51. Now, I do not believe that we are to live in condemnation because we have sinned. Listen to me really careful. Because remember how we started, this is going to set you free. God don't want you living in condemnation because you have failed in sin. God wants you restored. God wants you clean. God wants you back again in right standing with him. And that only comes when we truly repent from the heart. Without repentance, there's no remission of sin, right? We need to repent from the heart. So we go to 51 and we're going to read some. But I want you to see the heart of a contrite, humble spirit. We're losing that. It's almost like he died for me. Yes, Lord, I'm sorry. Let's go. I pray that when you came to the kingdom of God, you came because you realized that you were so lost and that you had so much sin in your life that you couldn't do anything, but he took it upon himself and you gratefully repent of your sin. Sometimes we lead somebody to the Lord, we bring them in a quick prayer. Oh, it's okay. Yeah, you can still do all this and live like the world during the week. But then you're going to minister to the people of God. We need to be careful. Are we going to sin? Of course we are, right? We're in the flesh. I'm talking about unrepentant sin. I'm talking about pushing your sin and covering it up and denying it. And not working with the Lord to change. Amen? Years and years ago, I have, thank God it's a long time, but I had a temper problem. Couldn't believe it? Yeah. I had an anger problem. I can justify by saying my mom and daddy, every time they got angry, you knew they were angry. I inherit that. Oh, that's the way I am. And so I came to the Lord. I received him as my Lord and Savior. I loved the Lord, but I was still angry. And when things didn't go the way I wanted to go, I exploded like a firecracker. And everybody around me will know it. Until one day the Spirit of the Lord got a hold of my heart and say, you are sinning. What? Instead of, well, that's the way I am. That's the way I think. I will come and speak the truth, but in such an unloving way because I'm angry. And it usually was everybody's fault. You make me angry. Have you heard that? Well, that made me angry, and you make me angry. So I have a right to what? To explode when the whole time is sin. And it wasn't until the Spirit of the Lord called me out and said, you're sinning. And I have to do some changing in my life. And I have to truly repent because I was sinning against who? Against God first. And those that were being hurt were God's children. As a parent, how they feel when they touch one of their little ones. So it's not a good place to be. So I'm here to tell you that the Lord helped me. Was it instant? Did I just repent it and the next day I will never get angry again? No, it was a process. But every time I missed the mark, every time I got angry and sin, right? Because the Bible says, be angry and sin not. I will repent immediately to the Lord. And so you see Psalm 51, we'll just read just some and say, have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. He wrote this after this encounter with Nathan. According to the multitudes of your tender mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done this evil in your sight. You see, that's a prayer of repentance. And that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Jumping at 7, he goes, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sin, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. The Bible talks about fruit worthy of repentance. Repentance, there's fruit when you change, when you repent of that sin. You can continue to read the whole, as you can see, a contrite spirit and a humble spirit. Pastor Shawara, you're saying, what I'm saying is, that we need to clean our house first. And do when you repent to your God, don't take it lightly. Ask him to give you the strength that you need to overcome that sin. Whatever sin it is, clean it up. Why? Like I say, this is the month of repentance. A lot of minister has proclaimed it and talking about it. You don't see the government calling that, but we're saying in the body that we need to repent. You're going to have to stand. I hope you do. I hope you stand and pray for our nation. Just like Daniel did. Remember Daniel? Daniel lived for the Lord, and yet when he prayed for Israel, he stepped in and said, we have sinned. I pray that you first take care of whatever sin is there. Listen, you ask the Holy Spirit, he's going to show you. You ask the Holy Spirit, where am I living in sin? Or what's the sin that I have not repented, Lord? And boom, it's there. If you give it, if you're there. And once he does that, don't take it lightly, right? This is between you and God. But let's do it. Why is so important? Because the body of Christ needs to stand in the gap for this nation. And just like Daniel did, that he was serving the Lord and praying 3 times a day and ministered to God, he stepped into it and intercede. I pray you do. I pray you pray. We are not in a good place. I don't know if you have noticed, but we're not. We're not in a good place. And we need the body of Christ to cry out to God for mercy. How many of you want mercy over this nation? I do. Who's going to do it? Who's going to plead the case? Who's going to stand in the gap? If my people that is called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and they will hear from heaven, I will come, I deliver, I will heal their land. Our land needs to be healed. And it's a fight. It's a fight. But if you're going to go to fight, you can go fight and take some strongholds if you have unrepentant sin in your life. It opens the door for the enemy. Why is it so important? Number one, it separates us from God when you have unrepentant sin from the heart. We conform to that sin. It becomes part of who we are. Whether you want it or not, it does. It's like a habitual thing. We keep on doing it. We do it so many. Look, David, it was almost a year before King David realized, oh, that's me. So you continue in that sin, it becomes like, it's okay. I'm okay. At first, like, ow, the Spirit of the Lord, oh. And then later on, it's like, sorry. Opens the door for Satan to torment us and use us. That's why we need to get rid and repent. There's some doors open that Satan is going to come and destroy you and torment you. And you wonder why sometimes you can't sleep well. Let's clean it up. Eventually, if we don't repent, we become dull. We become very, very judgmental of others. And eventually, we dry up. Eventually. Sometimes the Lord will use the prophet Nathan in our life. That's why we need to watch each other's back. Sometimes someone that you trust that will look at you and say, I don't think this is right. You need to stop, right? And if we're humble, we may receive it. Or we may what? Justify. Remember those two kings. King Saul was justifying that it was the people who didn't obey, not him. He did the right thing. King David immediately repented. You see it in Psalm 51. Immediately. And immediately he said, I have sinned what? Against God. That's your Savior. That's your Lord. That's the one that when you sin, he's right there. Right? Oh, we can put our little mask and, you know, pretend and I'm okay, you're okay, we're okay, we all okay. But the one that was there. And you see, God is not there just to punish you. He wants to set you free. Amen? Let's all stand. There's a calling to the body of Christ, like I said before. Coming in agreement to pray and intercede for our nation. For our children, for the generation to come. It's clean house. It's time to clean. It's time to have that conversation with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's time to put the house in order. It's time, isn't it? And then it's time to turn around. You know, at the end of Psalm 51, David ends in a good note. He said, then I will teach the transgressors your ways, and sinners will come to the kingdom. Just read it at the end. When you turn from your sin, when we turn from our sin, and we say, Lord, I am so sorry. I have sinned against you. I'm doing this and I'm doing that, or you know, right? We can make a list of all the sin. Or we can be in denial. Which one is it? Please allow the Spirit of the Lord to show you. and make it right. And then you step in. You step in to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to give your testimony, to minister to the hungry, to minister to the lost, and to have peace with God. Because it's against God that we sin. And like Romans say, the goodness and the kindness and the love that God has for us should be enough to drive us into repentance. Isn't that good? That's what drives us to repent. Not because somebody's judging us. Not because you're scared. Not because whatever, fill the blank. But because you love God so much that your behavior is an offense. And you don't want that. So, Father, I pray for your people. I pray you bless each one of us. And, Father, Holy Spirit, show us the areas and the sins that we have to repent. The kingdom of heaven is here. And we are your ambassadors. And Father, you want us to proclaim liberty to the captives. We can't do that, Lord, if we ourselves are captive in sin. So Father, I just pray for a humble and a contrite spirit in us all the time. That we'll be so aware of your holiness and your love for us and your faithfulness to us, that we will repent quickly, that we will do it from the heart, and that you will set your people free. Father, remind us this week to pray for this nation, to ask forgiveness and to repent in behalf of this nation that you have called us to live in. We stand like Daniel stand for this nation. We ask you, Lord, forgive us, for we have sinned. Forgive us, Lord. Forgive the government, Lord. Mercy on us, Lord. Mercy on the unrighteous laws that have been passed. Mercy, Lord. And we thank you, Father, and we praise you. I bless your people, Lord. Help us to have a better week. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, we pray. Amen. You're dismissed.